Ishaka Community Church is the church in Ishaka that we've partnered with. It was a church plant. A man by the name of Sam, Pastor Sam, went to plant a church in that community 4 years ago. And in 4 years, they have now grown to have three services on Sunday that are full and a satellite church on the campus that has over 200 students in it. When people come forward at this university and we hand them the follow-up cards, they follow them up and get them planted into the church. And Pastor Sam has had a desire to come to Canada. A few months ago, he emailed me and said, "I'm coming to Canada." I said, "Well, getting a visa is really hard." He said, "God will make a way." And so he applied. And his whole goal was to come this weekend to be in our church and then go to the LifeLinks conference in Winnipeg next week. I was just in Ishaka last weekend with Sam, and he did not have his visa, and he kept saying, "I'm coming." I said, "You don't have your visa. God will make a way," he said. I'm going to be on the plane following you out." I said, "Even if you get your visa now, how am I even supposed to make arrangements for you and all these things?" "God will make a way," he says. Thursday morning, I roll out of bed. There's a text from Sam. "I got my visa. I'm coming." Long story, we got him on a plane the next day, and he's here with us this morning. Pastor Sam, why don't you come and share the word with us today? Let's welcome him.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor Joel. Can we clap again for Pastor Joel? Yeah, also I want to thank you for supporting Joel coming to Africa and the team which has taken a step to travel to Uganda. Your job has been a tremendous life change. This guy is causing a revival in Uganda. We are praying that the same revival being caused in Uganda may the effects of that revival come here in Regina in the name of Jesus. And may I bring greetings from my family, my wife. I have one wife, one lady called Prose. She's so beautiful. She's beautiful. So she has been with me for some good time. And she has given me five kids, three girls, two boys. The first three are girls, 18, 16, 14, 10, 5. Those are boys, the last ones. And we've been pastoring this church, Ishaka Community Church, by the grace of God for 4 years. And we were just like fugitives around, going to try out to see whether it was God's will to pastor a church. Guess what? We discovered it was God's will. Along the way, God connected us to Joel, and is doing a tremendous work in powering people into our church. And the church is overflowing to capacity. And we don't know. We have a problem of many people coming to church. And a problem of space for where to put the people. So we have a nice building. This is a great, great building. But we are in just a ramshackle building. We put some iron sheets somewhere. We don't have a good stage. But we have one thing, I think, which is attracting people to the church. We have Jesus Christ. And he's very real. I'm sorry for you. I heard last weekend your team lost to Winnipeg team. That was very bad, but God's grace is still sufficient for you. Amen. Amen. Can we pray? Father God, we thank you for today. What a great morning when your saints are gathered together here, and me being here is a miracle. I know it's your will that I'm here, and I know it's your will to stand before these people. How I ask you to speak to your people intimately and challenge everything challenging them not to see you. I humble myself before your mighty hand to be your vessel this morning. Thank you. When all is said, the glory belongs to you. In Jesus' name I prayed. Amen. Can we turn our Bibles to the book of 2 Kings chapter 5? It's in the Old Testament, from verse 1. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. You know that word, but. You may be rich, but. You may be beautiful, but. You may be in Canada, but. There's that but to our lives as Christians. But I think that's the but which brought Jesus Christ. Verse 2, and the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman, his wife. Then she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him, he's the prophet. I think it's the duty of us to promote our master, that is Jesus Christ, to the hurting world. So it's your duty to point people to Jesus. You know, the world is hurting and they don't know what to do. They're very miserable, they don't know what to do. You as a Christian, the people you work with, the people you sit with, the people you meet, it's up to you to point them to Christ, because they don't know him anyway. You are his mouth. For and Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus the girl who is from the land of Israel said. Then the king of Syria said, go now and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he departed and took with him the talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, now be advised when the letter comes to you that I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may hear him of his reproach. And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, am I God to hear, to kill and make alive, that this man sends a letter to me to hear him of leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard the king of Israel had torn his cloth, that he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your cloth? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. Wow, what a good prophecy. But what happened? This guy, but Naaman, the guy who has a problem, the guy who has a leprosy, he was given instruction by said he became very furious. And he went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, one, he will surely come out to me. Then two, he should stand and call on the name of the Lord his God. And then three, wave his hand over the place and hear my reproach. But also he said, for anointed the Abana and the Fafa, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel. And number 5 argument, could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and he went away in a rage. This was a sick guy protesting his healing. My sermon today is entitled The Healing Which Was Narrowly to Be Missed. Of course, we know the Bible has described this guy as a great soldier, as a great guy with a leprosy. You know, leprosy can come to us in different ways and does not respect our titles, does not respect our families, does not respect our skin colors, does not respect our age. and can come to us. Where he got the leprosy, we can't tell. But it was considered to be a curse to everyone who had the leprosy. And you could feel the rejection in the community. You were not whole. He wasn't whole. Like at any one time, he could dress up to cover. And that's the characteristic of leprosy, that we cover it. We don't want people to know. When we are before people, we smile. But when you go back in our bedroom, we lament, we cry. Our pillows are full of tears. And you know this story of Naaman being healed. Of course, at the end of the day, he went and responded to the instruction of the man of God. But this story I have, it is relevant to me. I'm like a Naaman, or I was like a Naaman before I got that word. You know, this story is full of servants. They are servants all over. Naaman being a servant of the king. His wife had a servant, a maid, attending to her, a slave girl. At the same time, Elisha was a servant of God. But also Elisha had a servant, Gehazi, whom he gave the message. But himself, Naaman, had servants serving him. Wow! Servants everywhere. I've discovered the Bible is all about servants. And the Christian life is all about servants. That's why when the disciples were arguing with Jesus, who is the greatest amongst us? And what did he say? And what did he say? There? Oh, aren't we Bible readers? Let's preach together. Mm-hmm. The least amongst you is the greatest. When I see here, some time back I preached a message here saying, the insignificant becoming very significant. The servants here became very significant, and the so-called generals, great men here, were very small. But this story also may relate to our condition. Is like you have a chronic situation, maybe a disease, maybe a challenge. And they referred you to a great counselor, a great doctor, a great surgeon somewhere, very far, maybe a different province. And you have this referral from your personal doctor. Go to this doctor I trust. And when you reach there, of course, all the appointments are approved, what not. You reach there, the doctor, through the nurse, tells you, oh, maybe this person found me very busy. Can you go? And he looked maybe in the window through his office. There was a swimming pool at his clinic. I said, can you tell this lady to Gandhi deep herself 70 times in the swimming pool? And you know, the swimming pool was dirty. It has taken some time without being cleaned. And then you say, oh, is this guy serious? Is he a real doctor? I can see you calling back to the one who referred to you. Is this the person you referred to me? He told me to dip myself in his swimming pool. Does he know that I have better swimming pool back home than his? And as you are trying to run away, someone advised you, please, can you do what the doctor is saying to you? So Naaman found himself in that same situation. And he had like 5 reasons, as we've heard, why he couldn't dip himself in the river. Verse 11 brings out some of those reasons. He said, one of the reasons he had his thoughts. He said, I thought you could surely come to me. I'm highly disappointed of this man. He couldn't come to me. He couldn't see me how I am. Does he know I'm a great man? I'm a great soldier? How dare him just say a word without coming to me? But also he thought was also, I thought he would stand by me and call upon the name of God. I wanted to hear the prayer this guy is making. Not just to send the words through this messenger. To me, I call that one a betrayal. I call that one a rejection. that he didn't come. But also he said, I thought he would wave his hand over my body and heal me, over my leprosy, over my smelling body. I wanted him to come and put his hand over my body to feel like I feel. I would be happy if someone could touch this chronic of mine. But he didn't. So another way he said, are not Abana and Fafa the rivers in my nation, Syria, better than this swimming pool, this river Jordan is talking of? So he had his past. He referred to his past. He refers to his ex. He referred to the past. Back home in my family, we were like this. And you couldn't. But also, lastly, he said, can't I wash in those rivers? You know, he knew those rivers, but the rivers had no power. And he was rejecting, he was underestimating the word the man of God had told him. You know, when I look at this guy, Naaman, and challenging the word of God and the leprosy, I get lessons, but also I'm part of this story. As a young man growing up in a polygamous family, with my dad having 5 official wives and other unofficial outside, and all put in one house, I grew up seeing quarrels between my stepmom and my mom, and incidentally, my mom was the last. And because of that, big family of 20 children plus 25, of course, some have died of HIV. We are about like 17, somewhere there. We had an attachment to the dad. We were a burden to him. Poverty was everywhere. Education, nowhere. And we could struggle for what to eat. Put one meal for all of us to survive. It was survival for the fittest. The stronger you are, the more you can eat. And my mom could fight to make sure we ate. And it was a challenge. So one after the other, we started running away from the family, looking for better life. And the daddy couldn't care. Was not bothered. In any case, was a drunkard. Was abusive. I remember one time telling me, Sam, I have many children. Even when I kill you, I lose nothing. You are like just a drop in the ocean. And I don't think you are here for any reason. So I grew up in rejection. I grew up in abject poverty and failure. And because of that foundation, I knew I'm nothing. I knew I'm an accident. I knew I was going to be a failure throughout. Parents of Canada or Canadian parents and children here who have parents, you may be lucky somehow. If your parents could provide for you what to put on, what to eat, where to sleep. I didn't get that opportunity. I remember putting on shorts which had open backs, like my backs were open. Putting on a shoe was when I was 17. And as I moved out of my family, I went to the capital city of our nation looking for some people around from my home who could help me. I found this uncle of mine, maternal uncle, and 2 years he passed on, HIV/AIDS, and I went on the street trying to look for what to eat. I remember getting a Muslim guy, started very much to indoctrinate me into Islam. I refused. He chased me away. Went back to the street. I started working on construction sites. I didn't think life is any meaning. I didn't think I would amount to anything. I didn't think I would stand before people like you to speak. But behind me, there was this voice telling me, what if you surrender your life to the Creator? What if you join these people who are singing? What if you've ever heard people preaching about Jesus? Maybe there is hope for you. And I didn't know. Life was very miserable. To the extent I opted to commit suicide. But as I was going, that voice kept on coming. Before you commit suicide, can you go to that church for only one more time? For only this time around, I couldn't believe going. I was going to wait for a truck, and I jump into the truck. But I didn't jump into the truck. And going to this church, after those words, the preacher preached, and after preaching, as if he was preaching about me. When I responded to Christ, life began. It was as if I was dead. And when I accepted Christ, life started coming back. Even the craving I had for someone to hug me, for someone to love me, like there was someone hugging me at that moment. Like someone came and embraced me, yet there was no one. But when I responded to that voice, life took another twist. The Lord has been very real to me, friends. I discovered I have suffered a lot. I discovered I wasted a lot of time trying to make ways for myself. And yet there was hope besides me. There was abundant joy besides me. The love I didn't get from a parent, I got it from this Lord Jesus. Being a pastor of a church, one of the growing church, I count it a blessing because I knew I can do nothing. I knew I couldn't stand before you. You know, getting a visa to Canada, it's because I responded to that voice. Pastor Joel is a testament to this. There are many people who have better credentials than me. I don't have a land to present. I don't have assets to present to the embassy to prove me that I'm rich. I don't have a car. I don't have a house. But by faith, I presented my passport to the embassy. And I said, if they give me, they give me. If they don't, I don't care. But I had an assurance that someone loves me. I have to move to Canada. Let me tell you, standing before you is a miracle. I know some of you don't believe in miracles, but just believe in a miracle that I'm standing before you. Pastor Joel, I got a visa on a Friday. He planned my trip on a Friday, and I had to fly that same Friday. It's not very common. You frequent travelers, you book your tickets earlier 3 months, and there was only one space, one seat on the airplane reserved only for me. In fact, I sat near a guy. In fact, that seat was supposed to be for someone. I realized he had come for a mission in Kampala, and he lost his passport, so he couldn't travel. Instead, me, I traveled. Let me tell you, You know, our church is growing, as I told you. We lack where to put people. But who am I that people may follow my leadership? A reject from a failed family. A family which you can't be part of. But I made a choice to be part of the heavenly family. And that twisted everything about me. That's the message I've come to tell you. That there is hope in this Jesus. Some of you are here, you think you are here by accident. You are not here by accident. You are struggling maybe with certain challenges. You lack a solution. You've gone to counselors. You've gone to consultants, to doctors, to what? And things are not working. And do you know what? You are running away from life. You are leaving the life giver and you go somewhere else where there's no life. You are leaving the river of life and you are running to rivers which have no life, like Naaman wanted. He wanted to run to the river which had no life, and he left. He was leaving a life-giving river. Jordan was there waiting for Naaman to respond. Naaman wanted Jordan very much, but Jordan wanted Naaman. When I look at this story, I see Jesus waiting for you to come. But you know what? We run away from him. We run away from him. And we seek for life in things which are not giving life. We seek for solace to the counselors who have no Christ. And you leave the counsel of God given to you freely. You are willing to pay money to be advised. And yet you have the Holy Spirit near you, waiting for you to consult him. Consult on him. But you've left a greatest consultant, Holy Spirit. And you've given your life to these people who don't know God. And you know what? The response is failure, depression, stress, lack of joy, misery all over your face. Because you've run away from the truth. That's what happened. That was going to happen to Naaman by running away. It happened on me. And when I surrendered, you know, when I had this voice telling me, I got a simple job to work in a microfinance, a small bank giving micro loans. And when I had this voice 8 years ago telling me, Sam, you know where I got you from. I'm looking for someone to pastor church in Ishaka. Can you leave that job to Gandhi pastor a church? I didn't know where I could get food. I didn't know how I was going to survive. But because I knew the one calling, that he wanted to disappoint me, I just gave in. I just surrendered. Can you surrender to him as I'm concluding? Why are you running to people who don't give life? As we all stand up on our feet, I want to pray for you and the whole pastoral team, Pastor Joe comes. I want to pray for you. Some of you, maybe your family, maybe your children, maybe things are not going out the same way you expect. You feel like life is very hard. You feel like things are not working. But you are not here to fail. You should be the source of life to give to the world. The Bible calls us the light of the world. The Bible calls us a generation of God. He can help you. As you bow your head down, start speaking to him and say, Lord, here I am. Help me in this situation. I need you. I've lost all the counsel. Every cancer I get from people is not helping me. But if you are there, Abba, you can help me. Shira Baba Baba. Oh, and this moment healing is taking place. The solution is coming to that complicated situation. If you don't mind, you can move forward, and these men of God will lay hands on you. You can move forward, and we pray for you. Of life, Jesus is very real. Just come over. As you continue speaking and praying, as you continue to say, Lord, I need you. I need you in this situation. I'm so surrounded. I have no way out. Yes, Lord. Just come over. Come over. Today may be your day. Don't be like that Naaman who was running away in rage. He was saying, no, I have to run away. He was questioning the word. Questioning his healing. Yeah, the Lord is having a mercy over you, younger girl. Don't fear. The Lord is in control. The Lord is helping you.